meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good morning to you, Brevard County. I hope you are having a wonderful, wonderful day. You know what today it is. It know what day today. Whatever it is, I just said, it's Friday. It's Friday. I pray that you are planning on having a great, great weekend. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God. Hopefully my mouth's going to work properly this morning. If it doesn't, we will keep at it until it gets warmed up and decides to function appropriately. So I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, and the church there loves to bring the Refresh radio program to you Monday through Friday, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. 10:30 of a morning, you can catch us over at WWBC 1510 AM, our sister station here. So that's the way that you can listen. And if you don't get a strong signal there on either one of those frequencies, the AM station has some corresponding frequencies throughout the county over on the FM dial. But you can also log on to the WMIEFM.com page or the TuneIn app, and you can listen there. Some, you know, if the transmitter's having some issues, you may get a clearer signal on the internet than you would over the airwaves. And so just depends on what's going on, equipment modifications and things of that nature. So we want you to be able to hear and to hear clearly. Today we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 40, but first of all, I'd like to say thank you to the folks at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. One of the industries that I always feel grateful for during the summertime is air conditioning repair people, and that is because they specialize in coming in as quickly as possible. And listen, if you think that your AC might be having a little bit of an issue in the days ahead, you want to go ahead and call somebody in advance before that thing goes out, because there are part shortages in some of the supply chains and the construction and repair industry throughout the country. And air conditioning is not immune to that. We had to replace a unit not long ago, and Creative AC Solutions said, you know, you're lucky you even got a unit right now because of the supply chain issues. So don't wait until it crashes and then, you know, say, help, somebody come. There might not be any parts to repair your unit at that point in time. So if you feel like it's just showing a little duress, give them a call. That's one of the things that we did at our house was we had worked on our system, worked on it, and it finally became apparent that it was getting to, it just wasn't going to hang around a lot longer. And so rather than dealing with the complications of that problem, we went ahead and said, let's change this unit out. And we did that one while it was cool. So that is always something to be a blessing. Give the folks at Creative AC Solutions a call if you're in the central Brevard County area, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. It might be a quick fix. It might be a capacitor. A capacitor doesn't take any length of time, hardly at all, to solve that problem. It could be a wire, you know, that is showing some age. It could be a dryer. Might be a coolant leak. All sorts of different things. You might think it's catastrophic, and it might be something minor. And if it is something that is a little more serious, they will let you know that so that you can make the best decision that you can. Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So once again, let me take this opportunity to invite you out to church, Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. On Sunday morning, we have Sunday school because discipleship is important. We also have worship at 10:30. Our children's church is at 10:30. And that's because we believe that training up children in the way they should go is important. So we have various age demographics, and each one of them is important. A lot of places don't have anything more than just a Sunday service, and I'm thankful that I get to proclaim the word. But let me tell you, one-on-one discipleship is not going to take place during a worship service. You need to have that teacher student, that type of relationship, whether that's with a Sunday school teacher or with a staff person or whatever it might be. You need that discipleship. I needed that discipleship, and I still do need discipleship. So I have people that speak into my life. We also have prayer meeting on Sunday nights at 6:30, Wednesday night Bible study for the adults at 7, youth ministry at 7 for the teenagers, and we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. Our church exists to be a blessing. We are blessed. We exist to be a blessing, and we don't want that just to be to a small select group. We want that to be to the furthest extremities of society that we can reach. To the ends of the earth would be great, and we keep working on that. So away to Isaiah 40 we go. Today we are going to begin reading in verse number 12. We're going to read down to verse number 14, and it says this: "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding?" Let me read verses 13 and 14 to you from the Amplified Bible. It says there, "Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, the instruction that instruction might be given him? Who taught him the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding?" So today we are looking at the incomparability of God. We've already talked about that he's a competent God and that he's compassionate. We talked about those on yesterday's program. I believe we got both of those in on yesterday. If not, we go back one more day to get to the competent part. I guess that was 2 days ago, according to my notes here. But today it says this: "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand," or the waters of the sea. Another location translates it, the water of the earth. What I want you to see today is that when we are looking at God, when we are beholding him, as we've been instructed in this passage of scripture in verses 9 and 10 there, we see that God is beyond measure. The sea is something that is massive compared to humanity. I mean, there's just not any way that we have of really grasping the scope of how magnificent the sea is. And yet, God is able to measure all of the waters of the earth, both the waters in the ocean, the seas, the lakes, the rivers, underground sources of water. He measures all of those in the hollow of his hand. What that means is if you were to take your hand and you squeeze your fingers real close and you lift your fingers up just a little bit to form a little bit of a cup in your hand, you can put a little bit of water in there and you can hold it. Now, you might have a large hand and you might be able to get a little bit more in there than what I can, but it really doesn't hold much water until it starts overflowing and dripping out the crevices of your hand and through the cracks in your fingers. I don't think I could get an entire communion cup of water in the the cup of my hand there. I mean, I haven't tried it, but if I was able to do that, it wouldn't be much more than that. That gives you just a glimpse into the massive magnitude of God. Behold how big God is. He says, who has measured the waters in the... That's... God does that. And he doesn't stop there. It goes on and it says, or measured heaven with a span. Okay? A span is if you stretch your fingers apart, the tip of your little finger to the tip of your thumb, and the standard was pretty much around 9 inches. Now, you're going to have some people that have bigger hands, and you're going to have people that have smaller hands, but as far as a standard of measurement goes, it was generally considered to be about 9 inches. And I've had people, when we were working at church and we didn't have a tape measure, they would just take their hand and they would just start measuring fingertip to thumb tip, and they'd count up the number of spans. And it says, who measures the heaven with a span. So God's span is not 9 inches. You know, we have had to invent a measuring tool called light years and say, how much does light travel in a second? And then say, okay, if it travels that much in a second, how far does it travel in a minute? How far does it travel in an hour? How far does it travel in a day? How far does it travel in a year? And that's how they determined the distance of a light year. And they try and measure the expanse of the universe via this measuring standard called a light year. Now, that sounds impressive. But let me tell you that something that's even more impressive. God doesn't even need an entire span of his hand. Not multiple spans, a single span. It's a single term there. Measured heaven with a span. I want you to see how awesome God is. God is beyond time. God is beyond the earth, and he is beyond the universe. He is bigger than the largest things that we can comprehend. Another one, it says, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. Have you ever been to the beach? You know, God said, you know, if you can count the sand on the seashore, that's how many descendants I'm getting ready to give you. And the point wasn't that there's a number that you can actually calculate. God could do that. There's not a person who's going to live long enough, if they start when they're a baby and live to be 100, that would be able to accomplish all of that, because, first of all, you don't have access to the bottom of the seashore. You don't know how far down it's going to be until you start hitting rock instead of hitting dirt and dust. And yet God has all of that numbered. Do you realize 7 billion people on planet Earth? Little over 7 billion. And God knows the number of hairs on each one of our heads. He is a God not just of massive measurements or dimensions, but he is a God who is aware of the most finite details that you could ever comprehend. It says he weighs the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Again, this is showing the abilities that God has that surpasses by measure and by accuracy anything that mankind has at his availability. So, Isaiah goes on and he describes the fact that God is beyond measure. And then he asks a few questions. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? And the Amplified Bible says, but the Greek lexicon says that word directed means who's regulated God. I don't know about you, but I am not a big fan of a lot of government regulations. I believe that government many times goes overboard. I believe that there should be some standards, but there's a lot of things that go on that are just really none of their business. In fact, one point in time, we had a feeding ministry that we were doing at the church, and we were purchasing food so that we could give it away to needy families in the community. It wasn't inside the church. It was needy families in the community. And the government came and said, well, we're going to need to know the names and the size of the household and the address, and we're going to need all that information. And we said, well, we're not going to be doing that anymore if that's the regulation. If you're going to require that reporting of us, then we will just find a different way to be a blessing to our community. And so in that case, regulation actually negatively impacted the communities that we were trying to help. Government has the way of shrinking a dollar down to a penny, and the church has the ability to take a dime and stretch it into a dollar. We just do. There's not the bureaucratic overhead. There's not the regulation and all that. Well, there are many people who try and regulate God. They try, and another way of looking at this is, who prepared God? Okay? Who prepared the Lord, or who came to God and adjusted him to a different standard, to an external standard? The reality is, God is the standard. God is the standard. Many of our standards here on earth have to be adjusted from time to time. I've got a clock that hangs on the back of our sanctuary wall. It's a battery-powered clock. And even though it does a fine job of telling time, every once in a while you look back there and you say, the time on that clock does not match the time on my watch, which is digital and tied in with the standard clock that you can find on the internet. It's not tied in with the clock on my phone, which again has an external input, keeping it showing the correct time. There's a problem with that clock, and you got to go back and adjust it so that it makes the accurate reading. I am very suspect when I go on a scale and it is nowhere near what other scales. I went to a doctor's office not too long ago, and they put me on the scale, and it was not anywhere near any other doctor's scale, the scale at home or anything. And so I said, the next time I go in there, I'm going to be prepared to try and compensate. And so instead of going in there with all of my 4.5 pounds of clothes on that I had that day, I would go in there with, you know, a much lighter weight covering going on, because I was trying to adjust for the inaccuracy of the standard. Well, I want you to know, God never changes. He always has been the standard of truth. He's always been the standard of righteousness. He's always been the standard for every aspect of life. You're not going to find that he changes. He is the standard of salvation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the question is asked, who has directed the Lord? And it goes on and it says, or as his counselor, who has taught him? So the first question is, who teaches God? And the answer to that question is no one. I know that many times people in their arrogance think that they are going to teach God something, but God is an expert in history. He is an expert in mathematics. He is an expert in English and grammar. He is an expert in science. He is an expert in timing. He's an expert communicator. So people would say no one ever taught like this guy has taught before. He is a master teacher. Who teaches God? No one. I've told you of the guy that I encountered when I was in Bible college, and it was at work, and he was going to teach God. When he got there, he said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to explain to God exactly how it was down here, and he's going to let me in because all of a sudden God's going to be enlightened. Well, that just sounds stupid, you know. The reality is there is a massive segment of society that has that same mindset when it comes to the Word of God. Well, the Bible is really kind of archaic. It's really kind of outdated, and the standards of society has changed. And so when we get to heaven, we're going to educate and enlighten God and show him the error of his word, and we're going to recalibrate the standard of God. Society has always been trying to establish different priorities than God, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, all the way back to the Tower of Babel. Right now and all the way through history, society has been trying to establish their own standard of righteousness, because the standard of righteousness for God is not convenient. And so there are many people who think that God is in need of input from man, that man has had so many technological breakthroughs that, you know, now we can educate this God who, you know, just doesn't understand. Well, I want you to know that Elijah was caught up in a chariot of fire long before the first airplane took off. God was already specializing in air travel. You're not going to find anything that God wasn't able to do. I am very thankful for doctors. I'm thankful for the medical community. But God still knows some things that they don't know how to do. So I'm thankful when they're able to treat me and make me feel better. And I'm thankful for the advances that they have made that has kept one of my children alive. I'm very thankful for that. But when I told those doctors that I was praying for healing, they said, well, there's not any healing coming. There's not any technology on the horizon that is going to be a remedy to this situation. And so we just started praying. And thus far, we haven't seen the sustained healing, but I can tell you that we have seen glimpses where what shouldn't have happened did happen, and that the condition that child has improved. And so it kind of fluctuates there, and she is under authority. So, you know, she does the things that she is supposed to do from her standpoint, but she's still believing for complete and total deliverance. Who teaches God? There's not a historian that's going to be able to correct him. There's not a humanitarian that understands mankind better than God does. No one is going to be able to teach God anything. So it goes on, and the next question is, who counsels God? And that word means who gives him counsel, or who gives him advice. Now, I will tell you this, that you need to be very careful as to who you seek out to be one of your counselors or one of your advisors, because if there are people who are giving you counsel or advice from an ungodly mindset, they will take your weaknesses and your vulnerabilities and they will use them as a weapon against you. In this day and time, where there is so much acrimony in society, you could tell somebody something in confidentiality, and the next thing you know, you're seeing it across the internet. You need to make sure that you have. Now, the Bible does say in the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom, but those need to be godly counselors. So let's look at this. Who advises God? Who gives him counsel? Do you know what the answer is? Nobody. He doesn't need counsel. If God ever asks you a question, it is not because he doesn't know the answer. He wants you to have a greater awareness of the situation. And that's the reality. So today, if you are living your life and you have been trying to dictate the terms to God, you need to adjust that. If you have been trying to explain things to God, you need to adjust that. If you've been thinking that your problems are bigger than God, you need to adjust your perception, because I will tell you this today, God is beyond measure. He is beyond comparison. God doesn't need a teacher. He knows what we have need of before we ever ask. All of the mega corporations, they're not going to be able to teach God anything technologically he doesn't already know. Who gives God counsel or advice? No one. God's the standard. That's the point. It's called a rhetorical question. When the question is asked, the answer is already understood, and the answer is Jesus. And today, if you do not know him as your Lord and your Savior, if you do not know him as your God and your guide, I pray that God will open your eyes, and today you will see how much you need him. Have a great weekend. I pray that we'll get to see you on Sunday morning sometime in the near future, but if not, we'll see you Monday right here on
Thank Refresh. You for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.